Parshas Pekudei this week, the Torah tells us, Uvitzalel ben Uri ben Chur lemata Yehuda asa eis kol asher tiva Hashem es Moshe. Vitzalel did all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yerushalmi in Brachos, Perek Dalet Halacha Gimel, quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the 18 Brachos of Shmona Esrei, that's why we call it Shmona Esrei, for the 18 Brachos, they correspond to the 18 instances of Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe in what's called Parshas Mishkan Sheni, which is the parsha, the second parsha that describes the construction of the Mishkan, namely Parshas Pekudei. If you look in the parsha, you have 18 Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshes. And those, the 18 Brachos of Shmona Esrei, correspond to those instances of Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. The Mishnah in Brachos, Chav Chesem and Beis, in Perek Tfilas HaShachar, so it notes various forms of tefillah. You have the classical, traditional 18 brachos, nowadays 19, of course, that we say every day. Then you have something else that's called Me'ein Shmona Esrei, which is an encapsulation of each of the middle brachos of Shmona Esrei, according to one opinion in the Gemara, or according to another opinion of the Gemara, is the tefillah of Havinenu, which is a shortened version of the middle brachos of Shmona Esrei. And then you have another tefillah, not the Me'ein Shmona Esrei, but rather another tefillah called Tefillah Kitzara, a short tefillah, concise tefillah. And these variations, the classical, the encapsulation, and the concise tefillah, the tefillah kitzara, they compose a hierarchy of sorts. So under normal circumstances, you daven the full Shmona Esrei. And it used to be that in pressing circumstances where you wouldn't be able to have proper kavana for the regular Shmona Esrei, so you would daven the Me'ein Shmona Esrei, the Havinenu. And then in dangerous predicaments, in a place of bandits or wild animals, you would daven the short tefillah, the tefillah kitzara. Now, nowadays, we don't really have this anymore, the Bir Halacha, in Simen Kuf Yud, Seif Aleph, in Archaim. So he writes that we no longer daven Havinenu. Why do we not do Havinenu anymore? Because we can't concentrate even for seven brachos. Havinenu would have seven brachos, 3 plus 1 plus 3. But we can't concentrate even for that. So there's no, the reason to say Havinenu is because even you couldn't concentrate for 18, but you can concentrate for 7. But nowadays we can't even concentrate for 7, so you might as well do the full 18. That's one reason. Or another reason is because we have so many tirdos, we're always distracted, we have so much going on, that we would always be davening Havinenu, and we would never be davening the full 18. So therefore, we just got rid of Havinenu entirely. So the practice nowadays is that we don't do Havinenu. However, the Bir Halacha's comment really pertains only to the cancellation of Havinenu. But the third category that we mentioned, namely the tefillah kitzara, the short tefillah that you say in a predicament of danger, apparently is still relevant. And nowadays we may have situations where tefillah kitzara would be shayach. Unfortunately, right here, right now, in these times, we have soldiers on the fields, on the battlefields, who may not be able to have time to stand and daven a Shmona Esrei, but they would be able to say a quick line of a tefillah kitzar. And the Shulchan Aruch in Orech Haim Kuf Yud, Siv Gimel, records the tefillah kitzara that is said when one is in a situation of danger and does not have the ability to daven a full Shmona Esrei. And based on the Tur and earlier the Gemara on Chavtes Amid Beis, so the Nusach, the version of this tefillah kitzara, of this short tefillah, is as follows. Tzorchei Amcha Yisrael Merubin V'dayton Kitzara. We have very many needs and we have very limited wisdom and knowledge. Yiratzom L'fanecha Hashem Elokai, it should be Hashem's will. Shatitin L'chol Echad V'Echad K'dei Parnasasa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu give each and every one of us the sustenance that we need. Ulechol givia ugivia de machsora. It should give each and of our bodies what it needs. V'atov be'inecho aseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do whatever he finds to be good. Baruch Ato Hashem shomea tefillah. That's the tefillah. That's the tefillah. Now, there are other Tanoim who have other versions of the tefillah, but that is the opinion of the Achirim, and that is the one that's accepted by the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. And as we said, even though Havinenu is not said nowadays, this tefillah kitzara could find itself relevant in certain circumstances and dangerous situations. So let's get into the nature of this Tefillah Kitzara, being that this parsha, the Yushami told us, has the 18 Kasher Tziva Shemes Moshes that correspond to the most classical and traditional form of Shmona Esrei. Let's talk about the opposite end of the hierarchy, the Tefillah Kitzara. So what is the nature of the Tefillah Kitzara, number one? Number two, what's the relationship between the Tefillah Kitzara and the more traditional Shmona Esrei, or even Havinenu? And number three, what are the practical ramifications of our conceptual understanding of the Tefillah Kitzara? So let's begin with the relationship between Shmona Esrei and the Tefillah Kitzara, the prayer of Tzorchei Amcha Yisrael Merubin. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, notifies us of three distinctions between Tefillah Kitzara and Havinenu. The first is whether you have to say the first and last three brachos of Shmona Esrei. Do you say the section of Avos and Hodah, the first three brachos and the last three brachos? When you're davening Havinenu, then you have to add the first three and the last three. However, when you're davening Tefillah Kitzara, you don't say the first three and the last three. That's the first distinction. Second distinction, whether you have to daven Shmona Esrei again when you get home from the dangerous situation. So let's say you go out to a very dangerous place. You can't say the Shmona Esrei, so you say either Havinenu or a Tefillah Kitzara. What about when you come back home? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens based on the Gemara, the Gemara says that after davening Havinenu, you don't say the Tefillah Kitzara. After davening Havinenu, you don't have to daven Shmona Esrei again. However, after Tefillah Kitzara, you do have to daven Shmona Esrei again. That's the second distinction. Third distinction, what's the posture? Do you have to stand while you daven? So the Gemara says when you say Havinenu, you have to stand in place. But when you say the Tefillah Kitzara, you could say it even while moving. So, of course, these distinctions, they require some explanation. What accounts for the distinctions between the Tefillah Kitzara and Havinenu? So there are really two approaches here. You could say that the standards of Tefillah Kitzara are lessened. You could say it while moving. You don't have to say the first and the last three brachos. Why? Because the situation is even more dire, right? A situation of danger is a more dire situation than another situation where it's just that you can't pay attention because you're traveling. So perhaps because the situation is more dire, we're more flexible and lenient about the standards. That's one approach. Second approach is to say no. The reason why Tefillah Kitzara doesn't need the first and the last three brachos, the reason why you could say it even while moving, you don't have to stand, is because it's not a tefillah at all. It's not tefillah Shmona Esrei. It's not akin to Shmona Esrei. It's not a substitute for Shmona Esrei. When you're in a situation of danger, you're potter, you're exempt from Shmona Esrei. Ah, there's something else you should do. You know what that thing that you should do is? Pray for your salvation. Pray for salvation from danger. But that's not Shmona, that's not even in the ballpark of Shmona Esrei. Do we have any evidence that points to one of these two approaches? So, on the one hand, Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah Brachos Chav Chesem and Beis tells us that the Tefillah Kitzara is said b'chol parshas ha'ibur. B'chol parshas ha'ibur. What does that mean, b'chol parshas ha'ibur? That's not my question, but rather the question of the Gemara itself. Adav chavtesem et bezem drachos. And the Gemara has two explanations about what parshas ha'ibur means. First, it says that you should say whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, just like a pregnant woman is angry, because ibur is the lashon of pregnant. Second explanation is that you should say this because Klal Yisrael is in violation of Divrei Torah. And if Klal Yisrael is in violation of Divrei Torah, Ibor from the language of Ovar, of Avera, then we need this tefillah. The note of Yehuda Madura Tanyana, Yoredea Simin Yud, he says that these explanations of Bechol Parshas HaIbor, what they reflect is that the essence of the tefillah is really a prayer, a beseechment of Hashem to save us from danger. It's not a lesser Shmona Esrei. It's not even in the category of Shmona Esrei. It's not a fulfillment of the essential requirement of tefillah. You're exempt from that. Rather, what is it? A prayer for salvation. And that's why you say it when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, so to speak. However, there's other evidence that suggests the opposite. Rav Al-Yashiv, in his commentary to Brachos Taf Lamed Amud Aleph, points out that the tefillah never explicitly asks Hashem for salvation from danger. It just says, Tzorchei Amcha Merubin, we're very much in need of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rav Eliyashu says, that implies that this is actually a form of tefillah. It's just the most shorthand form of tefillah you could possibly imagine because you're in a dangerous situation. So what are the shitos of the Rishonim on this chakira? Whether tefillah kitzara is not a shmona esrei at all, it's just a prayer for salvation, or it's really a shorthand shmona esrei. So Rashi and the Shita Mekubetzes on Brachos Lama Namar Aleph, they explain that the reason why you have to daven again if you said a tefillah kitzara is because tefillah kitzara is not shmona esrei at all. It's just a prayer for salvation. Since it's a prayer for salvation, you didn't daven shmona esrei at all. Therefore, when you come back home, what do you have to do? Daven shmona esrei. However, there's another possibility to explain about why you have to daven again. Not because what you did wasn't in the ballpark of shmona esrei, but rather because if you have the opportunity to do a better shmona esrei, then you should. And that's what the Rambam's language implies. The Rambam says that when you come back home, you should daven tefillah kitiknasa, meaning according to its ideal structure. What you did while you were in the dangerous situation was daven the non-ideal tefillah. Now that you're back home and you're safe, what should you do? Daven the ideal tefillah. But the tefillah that you davened out in the battle zone, that was still considered a tefillah. Just when you get back home, you should daven again because you should do it in the ideal manner. So essentially what we have here, just to sum up what we've seen so far, is how do we view the tefillah kitzara, the tefillah of Tzorchei Amcha Yisrael Merubin? Do we view it as a non-tefillah? It's not really Shmona Esrei at all. It's not in the realm of Shmona Esrei, but rather it's a request for salvation. Or on the other hand, do we view it as within the ballpark of Shmona Esrei? It's just the non-ideal shorthand form of tefillah of Shmona Esrei. And we said that Rashi and the Shita Megubetzes take the first side. The Rambam takes the second side. And we explained how the distinctions between tefillah kitzara and havineinu would be explained according to each of these approaches. Now let's try to make these approaches more concrete with a few practical ramifications. The first one is whether there is any even encouragement to stand in place for tefillah kitzara. Recall that the Gemara said that for havineinu one has to stand in place, whereas for tefillah kitzara you could say it even while moving. Does that mean that there's no benefit whatsoever to standing in place? So the Rambam says that if possible, one should try to stand in place for tefillah kitzara. Why does he say that? Rabbeinu Manoach explains that according to the Rambam, tefillah dalet yotes, really you don't have to stand in place. But better to do good than to do bad. Mios tov al yikarei ra. It's if you could stand in place, so better to stand in place. However, another way of reading the Rambam is to say that since tefillah kitzara is within the realm of Shmona Esrei, so as best as possible, the most that you could do, you should treat it like Shmona Esrei. So if you can stand, you should stand. That's not what Rabbeinu Manoach is saying. Rabbeinu Manoach is saying it's not considered like Shmona Esrei at all. Just externally, it's always better to stand than to be moving when you daven, when you pray. Even when you're saying a prayer for salvation, you should still be standing if possible. But the Rambam may mean that you should stand. Why? Because it's really more similar to Shmona Esrei. And just like you have to stand in place for Havineinu and Shmona Esrei, so too you have to stand in place for Tefillah Kitzar. Next question. Next Nafkamina. What happens if you daven Tefillah Kitzara and then you come back home, Baruch Hashem, all is safe, all is good, and guess what? The Zman Tefillah has not passed. So you went out in the morning to the battlefield. You said a Tefillah Kitzara because you couldn't say the full Shmona Esrei. You couldn't say Havineinu. All you could do was the Tefillah Kitzara. But now you come back home and 4 hours has not passed yet. What do you say? Sorry. In that case, certainly you have to daven again. I said it wrong. Scratch that. Again. What happens if you daven the Tefillah Kitzara in the morning and then you come back home after this Zman Tefillah has already passed? So you went out in the morning, you said the Tefillah Kitzara, you come back home and it's the afternoon. Do you do tashlumin for Shacharis? Do you do tashlumin for Shacharis? You said the tefillah kitzara. You didn't daven a full Shmona Esrei. Do you do tashlumin for Shacharis? The Shita Mikubetzes, Brachos Lamed Amid Aleph, says yes, you do tashlumin. And Taka, that's the way that the Ramah paskins in Archaim Kuf Yod Siv Himmel. You do tashlumin for Shacharis. However, Rameir Simcha of Devinsk in the Yor Sameach Tefillah, Perak Dalet Alochi Yates, infers from the Rambam's language in Perish Mishnayos in Brachos Dalet Dalet that one would not do tashlumin if he said the Tefillah Kitzara but didn't daven the full Shmona Esrei. What's the Nekuda Samachlokes? Whether one is obligated to do tashlumin or not. So I believe that it relates to this exact point. If we hold that tefillah kitzara is a non-tefillah, it has nothing to do with Shmona Esrei. Really, what it is a prayer for salvation. So then, of course, you have to do tashlumin. You didn't daven Shmona Esrei. You were honest. You couldn't daven Shmona Esrei. And that's what tashlumin is made for. That's the opinion of Shita Mikubetzes and the Rambam. Why would the Rambam say that you don't do tashlumin? Because the Rambam is l'shitaso. Each day here is l'shitaso. The Rambam holds that tefillah kitzara is a form, a very watered-down form of Shmona Esrei. So watered down that if you come home during Zman Tefillah, you should daven the ideal tefillah. But if the Zman Tefillah is over, do you have to do tashlumin? No, because you already davened a tefillah. It was the watered-down version, but that's what you could do. And therefore, says the Or Sameach, that you would not do a tashlumin. Next, what is the relationship between tefillah kitzara and tefillas haderech? The Bir Halacha in Kuf Yud Siv Gimel writes that if a person is forced to travel to a dangerous place and he has already davened Shmona Esrei, he could say the tefillah kitzara and that would count for tefillas haderech. And likewise, vice versa. If he already said tefillah saderech, and then it so happens that he travels through a very dangerous location, he doesn't have to say the tefillah kitzara, says the Bir Halacha. The tefillah saderech accounts for the mechayiv of tefillah kitzara. One will cover the other, according to the Bir Halacha. Asks Rav Yashiv in his commentary on Brachos, why would that be? It seems to be that tefillah kitzara, tefillah saderech have nothing to do with one another. They seem unrelated. One is a tefillah. It's a watered-down version of Shmona Esrei. The other, tefillah saderech, has nothing to do with Shmona Esrei. Tefillah saderech is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for hatzlacha, for protection on the derech. What does one have to do with the other? But if we say, like Rashi, the Shita Mekubetzes, the Node of Yehuda, that tefillah kitzara is actually not within the realm of Shmona Esrei, but rather, what is it? It's a prayer for salvation. We can very much understand the Bir Halacha's approach. The Bir Halacha is saying, once you already said one prayer for salvation, you don't have to, for general salvation, just to keep your life, you don't have to say a specific one for the road. The road is already nichlal, it's already included in the tefillah kitzara. The more general prayer for salvation. Rav Yashiv actually doesn't take that mahalach. Rav Yashiv explains differently. He says, tefillah kitzara is within the realm of tefillah, but it covers the tefillah saderech. So again, to say it again. Can tefillah saderech substitute for tefillah kitzara or vice versa? Rav Yashiv says, the Bir Halacha says yes. Why would that be the case? Rav Yashiv explains it's only because the prayer for salvation is included within the Tefillah Kitzara. But the Tefillah Kitzara remains part of the realm of Shmona Esrei, like what the Rambam held. However, if you hold, like Rashi, the Shita Mekubetzes, and Oda Yehuda, then Rav Yashiv's Shaila falls away. Of course we can understand why Tefillah Kitzara would substitute for tefillah saderech, because they are both at their essence bakashos for salvation. So as we saw, we analyzed the nature of tefillah kitzara, whether it's a prayer for salvation not related to Shmona Esrei at all, or whether it's a watered-down version of Shmona Esrei. We saw how that's really a debate between Rashi and the Shita Mekubetzes on the one hand, the Rambam on the other. We brought different pieces of evidence from the Gemara for each side, and we analyzed a number of debates that would relate to this investigation, namely whether one would be obligated to do tashlumin if he missed his zman tefillah after saying a tefillah kitzara, and also whether tefillah haderech would and tefillah kitzara could substitute one for another. Presumably, the Rambam would not adopt the Bir Halacha's assumption that tefillah kitzara and tefillah haderech are interchangeable, because according to the Rambam, tefillah kitzara has nothing to do with tefillah haderech, just like Rav Yashiv asked. Let's finish off with a piece of machshava. The Torah Temima, he asks, why, according to the Yerushalmi, are the 18 brachos patterned after the 18 kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe's? What's the connection between tefillah and the construction of the Mishkan, specifically in Parshas Pekudei? And the Torah Temima explains that the repetition of the Mishkan in the Torah, in Parshas Truma Tetzaveh and Vayakal Pekudei, corresponds, as Chazal say, to the Mishkan being taken as collateral, as a mashkon, for our sins. It was taken twice from us for our sins in our history. And of course, when we don't have the Mishkan, we don't have the Korbanos, what takes the place of those Korbanos? Tefillah. So we symbolize the relationship between tefillah and Mishkan and Korbanos by doing what? By linking the number of brachos in tefillah, 18, to the construction of the Mishkan, the 18 kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe's. What is, though, the connection, the conceptual connection between tefillah and avoda? The Maharal explains that avoda, in its very literal sense, worship and service, it highlights and accentuates the idea of the eved being dependent on the adon, the servant being dependent on the master. When we give the korbanos, what we are doing is demonstrating in action that we are dependent on the will of Hashem. And when we daven and ask Hashem for our needs, we do so not just because we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fill our needs, but because we want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are truly avadim, that we are dependent, needy people. And the only one who can provide us with what we need is the Ribono Shel Olam. So the tefillah kitzara, Tzorchei Amcha Yisrael Merubin, we have so many needs, really cuts to the core and essence of what all of tefillah is. And that is our recognition and expression that sof kol sof, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's avadim, completely and utterly dependent on our Melech Malchei Hamlachim Avinu Shavashamayim. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.